This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would be happy to have you on the program. There is some breaking news. I'll get to the Alito flag stuff, but there actually is some breaking news. Footage has been released showing what happened the morning Scotty Scheffler was arrested in Louisville. Remember, the officer says that Scheffler tried to go through the median and the officer had to jump on his car to stop him and was dragged to the ground and destroyed his pants. But the officer who said he had body camera footage, turns out he didn't have body camera footage, but someone has now discovered that they had a recording of the arrest. You will not be surprised to learn that it does not show the officer being dragged to the ground. It shows Scotty Scheffler pulling out of a line very, very slowly, so slowly that the officer hurries to his car, not quite running, and you can clearly see beats on the window, and Scheffler comes to a complete stop, and the officer pulls him out and arrests him. I don't know how the guy damaged his pants unless he realized it was Scotty Scheffler and he pooped his britches, but it pretty much contradicts the claims that were made. What's so notable here is that there was a vast amount of conversation that this was all white privilege or celebrity privilege, that Scheffler was going to get away with it because he was a white guy. Till people pointed out, you know, something similar happened to Tiger Woods and they didn't even book him or mugshot him. Oh, so it's celebrity privilege. Well, you know, you can see celebrity privilege. There are two Americas. The famous people tend to get away with stuff. That's true. That's absolutely true. But in this case now, you can see in the footage that I can't understand why this guy arrested Scheffler at all. By the way, the guy wasn't even working a security detail. He was there assisting with traffic. He was wearing a yellow vest to be seen, looked just like the Valhalla security people who had directed Scheffler to go where he was going. And there was no dragging to the ground, nothing. You know, what's the only consistent thing about the entire story is there were lots of reporters who were eyewitnesses who say at no time did they ever see Scheffler proceed in a way that dragged the guy to the ground, despite him saying that he did. Just very interesting. You see him beaten on the window. Maybe that's what caused him his wrist and elbow injuries. But yeah, the things that were claimed originally do not appear to have happened. And this footage and the police in Louisville, Kentucky, not the district attorney, the higher ups in the police department are saying they believe Scheffler was overcharged and the charges may be dismissed altogether because of it. That has nothing to do with privilege. It has to do with, we now have videotape and it does not appear the things the police claimed actually happened, which is par for the course for the Louisville Police Department. It's been under Department of Justice investigations repeatedly for its, way with the facts when it comes to investigating crimes. Just fascinating that this is happening, and someone was able to find the footage, and there's a mass line of buses and traffic blocked and unable to get in. You see this car, I mean, so slow you could walk to him as his car is moving. Just interesting. All right, let's get into the flag. George Washington, when George Washington was the commander-in-chief during the Revolutionary War, decided to commission what was called the Pine Tree flag or an Appeal to Heaven flag. In fact, so it has a pine tree, and at the top it says an Appeal to Heaven. Let me just read you the Wikipedia entry, which is accurate. Was originally used by a squadron of six frigates that were commissioned under George Washington's authority as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army in October 1775. It is the official maritime ensign for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, though the script was removed in 1971. It is used by state Navy vessels in addition to privateers sailing from Massachusetts. The design of the flag came from George Washington's secretary, Colonel Joseph Reed. In a letter dated October 21, 1775, Reed suggested a flag with a white ground and a tree in the middle, the motto, "An Appeal to Heaven," to be used for the ships Washington commissioned. The following summer, on July 26, 1776, the Massachusetts General Court established the flag of the state navy with a resolution that stated in part that the colors be a white flag with a green pine tree and an inscription, "Appeal to Heaven." The pine tree has been symbolic in New England since the late 16th century. Colonists adopted the pine as a symbol on flags and currency in the 17th century, including variations of the flag of New England and coinage produced by the Massachusetts Bay Company. Leading up to the Revolutionary War, the pine tree became a symbol of colonial ire and resistance, as well as multi-tribal support of independence. A flag appeared on the 1901 Maine flag. They left off the Appeal to Heaven. They added a star. The phrase "Appeal to Heaven" is a particular expression of the right to revolution used by British philosopher John Locke in his second treatise on government. This is what he wrote in the 14th chapter. "And where the body of the people or any single man is deprived of their right or is under the exercise of a power without right and have no appeal on earth, then they have a liberty to appeal to heaven wherever they judge the cause of sufficient moment. And therefore, though the people cannot be judged so as to have, by the constitution of that society, any superior power to determine and give effective sentence in the case, yet they have, by a law antecedent and paramount to all positive laws of men, reserved the ultimate determination to themselves, which belongs to all mankind, where there lies no appeal on earth via the judge, whether they have just cause to make their appeal to heaven." Sam Alito and his wife have a vacation home at the beach, and they flew the Appeal to Heaven flag on their flagpole. Mrs. Alito is strongly Christian and a true patriot. I've never met Mrs. Alito. I know a number of friends who like Mrs. Alito. They're friends with her, and they say she's the conservative in the house. In fact, I have a friend who's very good friends with the Alitos who'd say that Mrs. Alito makes Mr. Alito look like a socialist. Mrs. Alito flew the upside-down American flag at their home after a neighbor referred to her as the C-word and blamed her husband for January 6th. It's very interesting that the media isn't giving Mrs. Alito agency. You know, just side note here. So Harrison Butker gives a speech. By the way, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have come out and defended Harrison Butker. But Harrison Butker gives a speech, and he says that, ladies in the crowd, you've been lied to that you got to go out and pursue a career when you can stay home and raise a family, and it's rewarding. If you go out and you have a career, you're going to do well. You're going to have great success, and God bless you for it. But if you stay home, don't think of it not as a career. I couldn't do my job, but for my wife, leaning into her job as a mom. And people got very upset with Harrison Butker because he was portrayed as saying that women got to stay home and make babies and raise them and stay in the kitchen, and he was depriving women of their agency. Now, along comes Sam Alito's wife, who raises an upside-down American flag on a flagpole And the press corps of America that vilified Harrison Butker for denying women agency is now denying Mrs. Alito agency, blaming it all on Sam Alito. She wouldn't fly that flag without his permission. How dare he let his wife do that? So you mean you're with Harrison Butker? Or how you've mischaracterized him. Isn't it fascinating that all women have agency except for Mrs. Alito? She's allowed no agency. Everything she does must be interpreted through the lens of her husband. Now, the more outrageous fact about the Alito's vacation home is not that they flew an Appeal to Heaven flag, is that they flew a flag championing the Phillies. I mean, God help them. Why on earth would you want to do that? And yet they did. An anathema and an abomination. I say that because I know I have two listeners listening right now who are unrepentant Phillies fans, and they were so upset that the Phillies flag did not get coverage in the New York Times. Listen, I have flown the Appeal to Heaven flag. I have one made out of wood on my wall. I know friends of mine who are Christian conservatives who they wear a little lapel pin that is a version of the Appeal to Heaven. It is something that Christians have embraced, particularly as both parties have become increasingly secular. They've embraced as a reminder of the Christian's role in politics. But the New York Times wants you to know that this flag was flown by protesters and secessionists, an insurrectionist, on January 6th. They stormed into the Capitol with Appeal to Heaven flags. Therefore, Sam Alito and his wife are clearly insurrectionists. You know the flag that was most likely to be seen on January 6th? The American flag. I guess if you fly an American flag, you're an insurrectionist by the standard. You know what those guys inside the Capitol had? Many of the men in the Capitol on January 6th, they had wallets. We should inquire if Sam Alito keeps a wallet in his back right pocket, because that might be a sign he's an insurrectionist, because the people in the Capitol had him. What is all this about? So first of all, you got to understand that 9 out of 10 progressives didn't even know what the heck the Appeal to Heaven flag was until they read about it in the New York Times yesterday. They had no knowledge of it. They were completely ignorant of it, and they allowed the New York Times to tell them it's an insurrectionist symbol. I'll tell you what this is all about, and it goes to an issue before the court. The New York Times, progressives that they are, they gave away the game in two adjoining paragraphs in the attack on Alito. Quote, during the period the Appeal to Heaven flag was seen flying at the Justice's New Jersey house, a key January 6th case arrived at the Supreme Court challenging whether those who stormed the Capitol could be prosecuted for obstruction. In coming weeks, the justices will rule on that case, which could scuttle some of the charges against Mr. Trump, as well as on whether he is immune from prosecution for actions he took while president. Their decisions will shape how accountable he can be held for trying to overturn the last presidential election and his chances at regaining the White House in the next one. So what this case is about is roughing the refs. They're afraid Sam Alito might side with the insurrectionists, and so they want to beat him up. And if he does side with insurrectionists, they can discredit the court. This is a pattern of progressives to discredit any institution they do not control. They are the original election deniers. Democrats have been denying elections since George Bush won in 2000. Even now, many of them peddle the idea that the Supreme Court handed him the election, despite a media review of the ballots in Florida showing George Bush actually won the vote in Florida and thereby won the Electoral College. They don't care about the truth. They're willing to deny the election. Many of them have anchor roles on television, and they write for major publications, and they can deny elections, but people on the right are not allowed to. The left discredits any institution it does not control and demands that the right hold moral standards the left refuses to hold itself. There's a reason that people on the right are embracing postmodern Marxism. They're so frustrated with the left trying to enforce rules. But again, you don't have to play by the rules. Here's the thing. They're not winning. The left's not winning. In their neo-Marxist angst, you have black and Hispanic voters rushing to the GOP. They're not going to force Sam Alito to step down, and despite all of their attacks over the past 2 years against the Supreme Court, the Harvard-Harris poll shows that a majority of Americans still trust the Supreme Court. They failed at this. So now what they're doing is, in their own eyes, for progressives, they're trying to discredit the court. And also in the process, they're lying about a rather innocuous flag that goes back to George Washington. But like with Chris Hayes, who was shocked and stunned to learn that aid is not flowing into Gaza, these people know nothing unless they get it from the New York Times and MSNBC, which are willing to lie. And that continues to give us an advantage in that we know the truth and they only know the lie given to them. And truths trump lies in combat. It gives us a unique advantage. We should encourage the New York Times to continue down their path of lies. It's only going to help us.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Peter, you're going to be up first today. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Glad to be on the Good. So I'll try to keep this quick. This is the first time I've ever heard Merrick Garland speaking about some legal issue that he's passionate about, which is the whole Ticketmaster thing. And I'm just wondering, it just seems rather conspicuous that he's speaking about this issue now. And talk about weaponizing our legal system. You know, talk about buying votes. You know, I just don't understand the priorities. And it's
undoubtedly
crazy.
Merrick Garland is one of the millions of people who tried to get the Taylor Swift tickets from Ticketmaster and was stuck all day waiting. And now he's using his power to wage war. Look, there are problems with Ticketmaster, and it is not quite a monopoly, but an 80% control of the market. But yeah, there are so many bigger fish to fry, including like all the terrorists coming across the border, and yet they want to go after Apple and Ticketmaster. It actually seems
seems like they're trying to trumpet this as a major issue when
yes.
there's so many other things we're dealing with, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, look,
I love America.
I get it. I got to let you go there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There are so many bigger fish to fry, and yet they're going after Apple for literally using green chat bubbles when you're not on their secure text messaging service, so you know, and yet somehow that hurts people's feelings, so the government's coming after them. And now after Live Nation, which owns Ticketmaster, there are problems. It's not quite a monopoly, but there's definitely an oligopoly, and it does try to shut down the competition. And there probably needs to be some action, but it's not that newsworthy of a big thing, and yet they're treating it as if it is because they know young people like concerts, and this is all a play for them. I want to make a play for you to move your bank to Old Glory Bank because I love them. It is my bank for conservatives, by conservatives. Their app is innovative. Their debit card is fantastic. The way you can control your debit card with the app is great. Their thoughtful way in which you can, even though they're an online bank, deposit cash and not just checks is great. Their budgeting tools are good. Their bill pay is fantastic. I love them. OldGloryBank.com. You can get an account in less than 8 minutes. You can get no-fee checking and no-fee savings. They've got competitive interest rates. You can even get loans with them and mortgages. You can establish a relationship with Old Glory Bank at OldGloryBank.com. OldGloryBank.com takes you less than 8 minutes to get an account set up. Get one for your kids if you want to put their money somewhere where they're not going to get eaten alive with fees. OldGloryBank.com. Very innovative. 88,000 retail locations have partnered with them to be able to deposit cash. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. OldGloryBank.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, I am happy to have you. Let's talk about an exciting subject. Let's talk about algebra. No. There's a story out that just, it caught my attention. So we're going through this with our kids. So, all right. Back in the day when I was in school, you know, I went to a very good school overseas. In fact, to give you a sense of how good the school was, and it only went up to ninth grade, then you went to boarding school. I had biology in eighth grade. When I got to college, the biology textbook was my eighth grade biology textbook. It was a very advanced school. We did starting in, we had computers when I was in first grade back in the early 80s. And we had computer programming when you were in fourth grade. You took Logos programming, which was, I can't even remember now, but essentially you have a little turtle on the screen that you move and you do things with. When I was in seventh grade, you started taking basic programming and you had to take typing class in fifth grade. And you had Apple IIe's everywhere, and then they upgraded to the Apple II GS, one of my favorite computers ever made. They started moving into the Mac. I was actually the only, we were the only family, my family. We were the only family that didn't have a computer. I mean, everybody else had computers at home, and I ran the computer lab at school because I didn't have a computer at home, and so I loved computers. I was there all the time. My teacher, Mr. Ackerman, let me run the computer lab for him. It was fantastic. I got to play on computers, do video games all day, do my homework, and then go home. And we had a typewriter, an electric typewriter. Got back to the States when I was in 10th grade and went from being the only family in the school without a computer to just about the only family in school with a computer. Bleeding edge, 33 megahertz and a couple megabytes of RAM. Running MS-DOS. Ultimately was able to upgrade to Windows 3.1. By the time I got to college, my computer was a custom-built machine, and you had to give it a whack to turn it on. Right over the power button, you had to just pound your fist on it, and it would start right up. I ultimately moved back to Macs. I do love custom-built PCs instead of the big-box stores. You get what you want. You can design it. I spec'd it out. I love to build computers. But one of the things I noticed when we moved back to the States was, I mean, there was kind of a way that you did math. So I did algebra when I was in eighth grade, and then algebra two in ninth grade. And then in 10th grade, you did geometry. And then in 12th grade, you did trigonometry. In 11th grade, you did trigonometry. And then in 12th grade, it was like advanced trigonometry or something. I didn't do calculus. And nowadays, kids are divided up. You've got, are you going to college track? Or are you not going to college track? And the problem is some kids, they accelerate at a slower pace. They get into 10th or 11th grade and they're in the we're not going to college track and suddenly realize they're college material and you've trapped them. My son is at our school. They have what's interesting. They have the honors track and the college track. And the college track is actually for the kids who may not go to college. The honors track is for the kids you know are going to college. And the honors track is way smaller, maybe 7 kids in his class. And he actually struggles with math. In fact, we're going to do summer tutoring for him for algebra. And they've kind of changed it now. So your algebra and your geometry are combined. It's not straight geometry. I love my geometry class. It was my favorite class I ever took. And the reason it was my favorite class, you will not be surprised to learn. I sat in the back of the room and taught myself. So I moved from a private school 4 months into my education in the United States. Moved from a private school, took 30 minutes to drive there. Gas prices went up to $1.25. My parents were like, gas is too expensive. Yes, $1.25. They got to send you to public school. Driving both ways every day. It's wearing. Don't want to do it. Didn't really want to pay the private school tuition. Totally understood. But I didn't like public school. Man, public school was a culture shock for me after the way I grew up. But I had in 10th grade, had a teacher, Miss Mims. And Miss Mims was taught the geography, or the geometry class. and I was already well ahead of where they were. So Ms. Mims put me in the back at a table by myself and said, you teach yourself geometry. By March, school got out at the end of May, I was already into the trigonometry book. Not only that, I'm proud to have you know I won the state award for highest geometry. Had the math Olympiad, and I won the geometry award because I was a nerd. Loved geometry. But I didn't have these paths, you're on the college track or you're not. There was just, everybody was in it together, kind of. And the good kids, kind of based on standardized test scores, were kind of lumped together. The kids who needed help were kind of lumped together. And then the kids who were kind of middle of the road, they had a much larger class. And you kind of divided up the class that way based on the standardized test. The very best kids were together in smaller classes. The very worst kids were together in smaller classes to get extra help. And the kind of the average kids were all together in a big group, big class. Nowadays, they put you in all these tracks, the college track, the advanced track, the honors track, the work study track, the you're going to jail track. And algebra is kind of the dividing line. So I stumbled across this story. It appeared in the New York Times, and it actually is an intriguing story to me that New York and San Francisco took different paths. Because here's the thing. If you take algebra in eighth grade, you ultimately can wind up in calculus in 12th grade. And then if you do calculus in 12th grade, it sets you up right for college so that you can go to college and not have to take a bunch of math classes and get into an engineering track or a track that's going to make you a lot of money in life. But it's become political. So when Bill de Blasio was mayor of New York City, he adopted a goal that every middle school was going to offer algebra in eighth grade. And principals could pick and choose which eighth graders were competent enough to get into the class in eighth grade. San Francisco did the completely opposite approach. San Francisco prohibited any middle school child from taking algebra. You weren't allowed to take it until high school because it was racist. See, San Francisco decided that it was mostly Asian and white kids who were successful enough to take it, and that would set them up for an inequality situation later where the poor black kids and the poor white kids who weren't competent would be left behind by the smart white kids and the Asian kids. Parents sued, and San Francisco had to reopen algebra to kids. There's a twofold problem with this. One of which is we put a lot of weight on kids going to college. In fact, the data suggests very clearly, it doesn't suggest, it actually shows us that kids who go to college have lower unemployment than kids who don't go to college. Kids who go to college over time have better earnings, better income, more stable families. They have a lower divorce rate. They actually go to church more. Kids who don't go to college have a higher propensity to go to prison, higher propensity to engage in drug and alcohol vices, higher propensity to divorce, are less likely to go to church. But if you're white or Asian and you don't go to college, you still outperform every other racial group. In fact, there's a growing body of evidence that if you go to trade school and learn a working class trade like plumbing or electrical work, your life quality of life winds up being almost, not quite, but almost as good as the kids who went to college. You're not hearing a lot about that because there is a bias towards college. But one of the way we figure this out in polite society these days is algebra in eighth or ninth grade. This is back to the New York Times article. Teaching math in middle school is a challenge for educators in part because that is when the material becomes more complex, with students moving from multiplication tables to equations and abstract concepts. Students who have not mastered the basic skills can quickly become lost, and it can be difficult for them to catch up. Many school districts have traditionally responded to divergent achievement levels by simply separating kids into distinct pathways, placing some in general math classes while offering others algebra as an accelerated option. Such shorting, known as tracking, appeals to parents who want their kids to reach advanced math as quickly as possible. But tracking has cast an uncomfortable spotlight on inequality. Around a quarter of all students in the United States take algebra in middle school, but only about 12% of Black and Latino eighth graders do, compared with roughly 24% of white pupils, a federal report found. That's why middle school math is the flashpoint, says Joshua Goodman, an associate professor of education and economics at Boston University. It's the first moment where you potentially make it very obvious and explicit that there are knowledge gaps opening up. California once required that all eighth graders take algebra, but lower performing middle school students often struggle when forced to enroll in the class. San Francisco stopped offering the class in eighth grade, but the ban did little to close achievement gaps in more advanced math classes. As the pendulum swung, anger grew. The city's now back where it began. Middle school algebra for some, not necessarily for all, will return in August. The experience underscores how every approach carries risks. I'm going to say something here that some people aren't going to like. Just because segments of the non-white community fall behind in algebra does not mean we should punish those who get it. We're always going to have the poor, and there's always going to be inequality. This idea that we can build equity in society and we can build equality in society by denying smart kids good classes should offend every one of you. The idea that because the Black and Hispanic students don't do as well as white and Asian students, therefore nobody should get it, maybe we should be asking what it is in the Black and the Hispanic community that it's holding them back, as opposed to punishing the white and Asian kids for not being held back. Maybe we should look at the families, because, you know, there are Black and Hispanic kids who do quite well. You know what they have in common? Mom and dad, two-parent, heterosexual nuclear households. But you're not allowed to talk about that, because if you talked about that, it would raise all sorts of terrible implications for the way we've decided to organize society in the country. So instead, what they'll do is they'll punish the white kid and the Asian kid. They'll punish the academically gifted kids so that the dumb kids don't feel bad, or the kids who got a bad education don't feel bad, or the kids who are failing don't feel bad. We shouldn't be concerned about their feelings, and we shouldn't be concerned about equality. We should be concerned about producing the best minds in society, recognizing life isn't fair. Neither is math. Some kids get it. Some kids don't. But this delusional take from progressives, this, by the way, is why you should get your kids out of government schools. Because it's not just California and New York. It's across the country. It happens in major urban areas around the country where progressives are in charge, where they think your child, because they're smart, should be punished. I know of what I speak. When I was in high school, I was kept out of the gifted program by the head of the gifted program because he thought I had an unfair advantage given my upbringing overseas. And it actually took the teachers in the school to force him to put me into the gifted program. And I had to do all the testing and stuff with him. But he wanted to keep me out of the program because he thought that I had an unfair advantage because I had grown up overseas at a good school, and it was depriving other kids of spots in the gifted program to allow me in. Thankfully, I had great teachers who took up for me in this public school and essentially forced me into the program, and it actually helped me get a college scholarship. I was dealing with this in the 90s when I was in high school. It's gotten more absurd now. Parents, if you can get your kids at a public school, you should. The fact that they want to deprive your kid of a math class that could potentially up his earnings later in life or her earnings later in life because some kids won't do well at it is just another damning indictment on how progressives have run our education system into the ground in this country. And it's not going to get any better because you know what? Next time a cold circulates, they're going to shut down your schools again and then tell you we didn't shut down the schools again. They're going to gaslight you on it. Might as well get them out as quick as you can. The gaslighting from these people after they've screwed up our public schools is just a whole nother bag of worms. Just absolutely remarkable that the amount of lying done by the academic elite and the teachers unions of this country claiming, no, we didn't want to shut down schools during COVID. That was the government that made us do it. No, you were the ones who went on strike refusing to go back to school. because of it. Ridiculous. Y'all, I got to tell you, speaking of germs and stuff floating in the air, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm grabs those things in electrostatic plates and keeps them from circulating in your house. It's a great air purifier, but where it really shines is in odor elimination. Right now, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com, Eden like the Garden of Eden, pure as the driven snow, EdenPureDeals, plural.com. You put in the discount code ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3, and you will get 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms. That's right, 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms, and you save $200. So you go to EdenPureDeals.com, you put in ERIC3, you get 3 of them, you save $200, and they eliminate odors. It's how I use it. They're small enough you can hold it in your hand. I put one in my travel bag when I travel because you can plug it up with a USB cord to a wall or a computer jack, or you can plug it into the wall and it just wipes out odors. It wipes out smoke odors, litter box odors, pet odors, frying odors, musty odors, you name it. Wipes out those odors. So if you're staying somewhere with a hotel room, someone's been smoking in it, it wipes out those odors. Your car wipes out odors in the car, wipes out frying odors in the kitchen. It's great. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You get 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms and save $200.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on. Is that right? Yeah, cooking. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
Greetings, my friends. How are you? It's Eric Erickson. The phone number here, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. I'm assuming by now you've heard this.
How seriously did things get with RFK about being the running mate? Obviously, we haven't got a chance to talk because I cannot launch.
Yeah, I love Bobby. We had a couple really nice conversations. But there were really two options. It was retire and be his VP or keep playing. I don't want to keep playing.
That makes all my Jets fans happy. Aaron Rodgers saying he didn't want to retire and be a vice presidential nominee for Robert Kennedy Jr. He wants to keep playing for the Jets. Let's hope he can actually like get on the field and not tear himself up after the first game this year. Fun guy to watch play. He's an odd bird, but the Robert Kennedy campaign is an odd one. I got to say, though, I mean, I think that the more you learn about Robert Kennedy, he's not on the right. He's pro-abortion, anti-gun. He's a prototypical leftist and also a weirdly vaccine conspiracy theorist and a global warming weirdo. But I totally get people who are kind of saying, I think I'd rather vote for him as a protest to Biden or Trump because, I mean, the parties have really outdone themselves picking candidates this year. So I get it. There's no way I'd vote for the guy, though. He's a lunatic. Good for Aaron Rodgers staying in the game. Y'all, I got to tell you, Father's Day's coming up. Tick, 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 clock is ticking. Go to omahasteaks.com today and get your dad great steaks for Father's Day. If you use my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, as your promo code at checkout, you can get an extra, well, you can get a discount, and you can get deals, and you can save money, and you can make your father happy and your wallet happy, even while treating your dad great for Father's Day. OmahaSteaks.com. Use Eric as your promo code at checkout. Check out the discounts and exclusive offers you'll get. And don't forget they have 100% satisfaction guarantee at Omaha Steaks. So if your dad's not happy, they're going to make your dad happy because they want happy returning customers. I've been a customer of theirs for a very long time, more than 20 years. In fact, I've got an Omaha Steaks box coming to my house today, according to UPS, with some stuff for my wife. You will love Omaha Steaks. It will keep your dad happy. OmahaSteaks.com. Use the promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Save, get great deals, make your dad happy for Father's Day at OmahaSteaks.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.